Welcome to the Travel Squad podcast, where adventure meets inspiration. We're your hosts. I'm Brittany.
I'm Kim.
And I'm Jamal. Together, we explore international destinations, hike epic national parks, and share unforgettable travel experiences with you, one passport stamp at a time.
Our mission is to inspire you to travel by showing you how you can make it work no matter your budget, schedule, or experience level.
We bring you along so that you can laugh, get excited, and start planning your own trip.
So grab your ticket and your passport.
And don't forget your travel insurance.
And get ready to embark on a new adventure with us around the globe.
Hello, fellow travelers.
Hey, squaddies.
Hey, squaddies. Welcome to this week's episode of the Travel Squad podcast. Today, we're taking you to the Jersey Shore, baby. So the Jersey Shore has approximately 130 miles of coastline, and it's a popular summer beach destination.
The Jersey Shore has always been an iconic beach getaway location that was well known to East Coasters, but it has now become infamous due to the hit reality TV show, The Jersey Shore. But don't let the MTV show give you negative stereotypes about it. The Jersey Shore is a great place to visit and soak up those beach vibes as well as seaside amusements. What really took me by surprise about the Jersey Shore is there's a lot of craft beer locations and a really great culinary scene out there to get in amazing eats. And we have to give a shout out to our friends Bob and Lorraine, whom we've mentioned several times before on the podcast. We originally met them on our travels on our epic Gate One trip to Uganda. They happen to be East Coasters, have a nice beach bungalow down at the Jersey Shore, and they very graciously allowed us to come stay with them and visit for a little summer getaway on a weekend trip that was actually Brittany and I's 8th wedding anniversary. On top of that, we also made our way to Cape May, New Jersey, which is in the Southern Shore. And bonus, we went to Philadelphia because that's where we flew in. So we're really going to be talking about the Jersey Shore, but touching upon Cape May and Philly in this episode just as well.
We all know the Jersey Shore, and some people might have opinions about that MTV show. I personally love it, and I've always dreamed about coming here, fist bumping at Karma, getting a beach house, like going on the boardwalk and doing the thing.
GTL.
Oh, yes. Gym, tan, laundry, chapstick. And I also recently saw that the New Jersey Housewives did a trip out there. They all had these gorgeous beach houses that made me really, really want to go. Wasn't with you on this one for your 8th wedding anniversary. I'm excited to hear about it, though.
So as always, we start with the tips. We're going to dive into a few of those. First tip that we have for you is in this area of the U.S., there are toll roads. So if you want to avoid them, you can always change your settings on Google Maps or you can pay the toll road fees.
Are these tolls ones that you have to stop and pay or they send you a bill in the mail?
I actually changed my settings on my map, so I don't know.
I think they have a pass because when we rented our car, they gave us the option, do you want to pay for the toll road pass? You know, because a lot of rental car companies, if you happen to land in an area where tolls are a major thing, they have that option. If I recall correctly, because we did drive through one at one point, one of them was cash, one of them was go online and pay within a certain amount of time. Otherwise, they're going to get you and track you with your license plate. So do your research on that. We changed it because we didn't want to necessarily pay the tolls, and the time it was going to add extra wasn't necessarily a lot more. So
there are two airports that you can fly into. Atlantic City Airport is the closest airport to the shore. Philadelphia is probably the next major closest airport. So that's where we flew into. We had a good deal with Southwest. And Jamal only had to pay for the taxes. So he only paid $11.20 round trip. And we just wanted to throw on Philadelphia because Jamal had never been to Pennsylvania before. And so we were also knocking off another state.
And what would you say about weather? It is a summer beach destination, but what kind of weather do they have there in the summer?
During the summer, you can expect hot and humid weather in Philadelphia and in New Jersey. A lot of people don't realize this. If there may be West Coasters, of course, if you're an East Coaster, you'll know this, but Philadelphia is right on the border with New Jersey. You just cross a river and boom, you're in New Jersey. So Philadelphia might as well be part of New Jersey, not even Pennsylvania at that point. And New Jersey is a small state. So that humidity that you get from the coast, the Atlantic coast in the north, it carries over. So expect it to be hot and humid. And it was.
One thing that surprised me about New Jersey in general was a lot of restaurants have a hard time getting liquor licenses. So they allow you in the restaurants to bring your own beverage a lot of the times.
Wow.
And there's no corking fees if you bring wine or any of your stuff, because our friends Bob and Lorraine, they had mentioned to us that we had no clue about it whatsoever. And they wanted to take us to this one particular restaurant. And they said, we need to bring like our beer, wine, etc. And they let us know that only a few locations get liquor licenses. And if they have a liquor license, they'll only allow so many to be given out in the proximity of one that already has it. So businesses want to bring people in, of course, and alcohol is a big draw. So one of those draws is, hey, bring your own booze. We're not going to charge corking fees. So you go in a restaurant, you'll see lots of people with coolers, wine bags, and just bring your own stuff. And we did that. So keep that in mind. That was really awesome about New Jersey. I loved it.
So another tip too is research the beaches you want to visit. There are many beaches in the Jersey Shore that you have to actually pay to get onto. We came across a few that it costs anywhere from like $10 to $20 for the day.
Per person?
Per person.
Wow.
And then some beaches in some of the beach communities are actually private for residents or visitors. So you actually have to have like an HOA beach pass to go on it.
That's nice if you live there.
Real nice if you live there. You got to have the big bucks for those beachfront properties that have those HOAs on them. But do not think that you'll probably sneak onto the beach and not have to pay in one of those paid areas. They really have people manning in certain spots to, as you come on, pay your fee and they give you tags. So keep an eye out for that. And of course, that's probably only cash. So bring cash.
So let's dive right into the trip. We flew out on a Friday. We landed pretty late in Philadelphia after midnight. So technically it was Saturday by the time we landed. And, you know, if you've never been to Philly before, Philly is Pennsylvania's largest city. It has a lot of history. And that was one of the draws for us going. Not only had Jamal not been to Pennsylvania before, he wanted to see the history at the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, and other American Revolutionary sites.
It's also one of the top 10 largest cities in the U.S. And it also used to be the capital of the United States before it was finally moved to Washington, D.C. So a storied history here in Philadelphia.
This is a good time to mention all of the resources that we have available for you, Squatties, so that you can travel more and save money while you're doing it. One of those resources is travel itineraries. We also have a newsletter that Brittany works really hard on every month to bring you deals, tours, trips, everything that we're doing, all of our recent episodes. There's a ton of that there. We've built a killer Amazon storefront with all of the products that we mentioned that we bring on these trips. And then we also have our Etsy shop with Travel Squad podcast merch and different seasonal gear to make your travels cuter.
So be sure to check out our website, Travel Squad Podcast. You could find links to all those things Kim mentioned. Be sure to find that link for the newsletter and sign up once a month. Lots of valuable information comes out in that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So day two was really where our time started in Philadelphia. We wanted to visit a coffee shop. Actually, I wanted to visit a coffee shop. So we went to this place called Elixir Coffee. They actually have a strawberry oat milk matcha latte. And let me tell you, that strawberry oat milk changed my life. It was that good. Like, I still dream about that.
I don't really like matcha, and I tried Brittany's and I thought it was pretty good. So that's how good it was. So Elixir Coffee is one of those unique places that if you Google coffee shops, Philadelphia, it will come up. So if you're in the area, want to try it, it's worth going and checking out. It has local coffee shop vibes. But the first thing we did after we got our coffee was we went to the Rocky Statue and Steps. If anybody is a film buff and loves movies, of course, everyone knows Rocky Balboa. He is from Philadelphia. There is the famous scene where he's working out, getting really revved up. They play the music. It's a whole dramatic scene. And then he runs up the stairs, pumps up his fist. And the city of Philadelphia has paid homage to Rocky himself and created a statue at the base of those steps. Lots of people go there just for the cinematic history and value of it and like to actually climb and run up the steps and recreate Rocky's movements and run. but we found it very difficult to get out in this area. It was really hard to find parking.
It's like a roundabout and there's no good parking or offshoots on it. So we just really drove by and saw it from there. We saw the Rocky statue. We saw a lot of people running up the stairs. So definitely popular. If we had more time, also time was an issue for us. So if we had more time, maybe we would have put in more effort to park and get out. But we just did a little drive-by for this.
And those steps are part of the Philadelphia Museum of Art. So it's the 72 steps. So you're in a park promenade area and where you drive to lead up, not really a lot of parking, but probably in the back. But we were on a time constraint. And what for, Brittany? Where were we going next?
We were going to the historical part of Philadelphia. We wanted to go visit the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell, you don't need tickets for, but you do have to wait in line to go through security. On a hot summer day, it can be brutal to wait in line. So we wanted to go in the morning because we wanted to avoid the heat, and that's what we did first.
So the Liberty Bell is an iconic American symbol. Some people know what it is, some people don't. But the Liberty Bell really became famous because this bell was commissioned to be in the Philadelphia State House. Unfortunately, upon arrival, it was rang, it had a crack in it, and then it really didn't allow it to be rung at its proper tune. The more they kept ringing it, the more the bell cracked, to eventually to the point where it cannot ring anymore. But why it has significance in the United States of America and a popular tourist attraction right at the steps of Independence Hall is because of the few times it was rung to call attention to the masses in public for the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence when it was signed, when the Constitution was signed. A lot of people are confused, Declaration of Independence, Constitution, think it's the same thing. That's not the case. The Constitution wasn't even signed till after America had won the Revolutionary War, which was several years after even signing the Declaration of Independence. So it was rung at certain times in American history, and that is why it has become famous, plus with its storied history of how the bell doesn't even really work properly upon arrival.
So we got to see the Liberty Bell up close in person. And then I got to give a shout out to our squaddies, Ryan and Bree. When Ryan found out that we were going to be in Philadelphia, he was like, hey, I'm pretty close to that area. I'd love to meet up. So it was so weird. It was like a nervousness of like meeting up with a squaddie for the first time. And you're like, we're DMing each other like, what are you wearing today? So like we know who to look for. And like, okay, I'm standing outside of the Liberty Bell. You know, so
funny. That's so cool that you got to meet in real life a squatty.
Yeah, it was awesome. We hung out with them for the rest of like the half day that we were there. Jamal and I, we had booked reservations for the Independence Hall. You have to have reservations in advance. I had sent him the link, but I think tickets were already sold out for the time frame we were going. It's only $1 a person. It's a 20-minute tour, and you get to go inside Independence Hall, and they tell you a lot about the history of that.
So Independence Hall is, of course, where the signing of the Declaration took place. On top of that, later on, the signing of the Constitution. However, Independence Hall is what it's known as now, but originally it was just the Philadelphia State House, because before the capital of Philadelphia was moved to Harrisburg, it was in Pennsylvania, being that there was no official nation's capital or national capital at that point in time. Philadelphia was just kind of the closest and biggest city for everyone to really meet in. And so our founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence in here. And the tour, like Brittany said, 20 minutes. But when you're in there, you just really appreciate the significance of what took place here. Not even as an American, but, you know, a lot of times when we talk about certain places in American history on this podcast, I feel like even non-Americans can appreciate the historical significance because of where America is and its standing in the world today as a world leader. What America does so dictates kind of a lot of things. So really humbling to be in there and think like, wow, this location really changed history of the world, at least of the way we live in it now.
And so although Ryan and Bree didn't go in for that tour, they just kind of explored the area while we were in our tour, but they went with us to the West Wing of Independence Hall. There's a lot of different copies of different articles there, one of them being the Declaration of Independence. We went to Congress Hall together, where that served as the seat of the United States Congress for a few years, and even the old City Hall together.
More than a few years, almost a decade, from December 6th, 1790 to May 14th, 1800. So 10 years, this building served as the capital of the United States. On top of that, a different wing of the State House was House of the United States Supreme Court for that same time. So we got to go in there, see the Supreme Court of the United States. So if you're not able to make it to Washington, D.C. and want a little bit of historical aspect, this one little area park of Philadelphia has a lot for you to soak up and enjoy.
Why do you think they moved the capital functions from Philly over to D.C.?
Well, they needed a permanent place for it, and they really carved D.C. out of two states, originally Maryland and Virginia, and now D.C. really is only in the Maryland enclave, but it was once in New York also, federal capital. So they moved it a few places till they finally figured out, okay, we need to really create a specific spot. So why there was a reason, what it was, they didn't say here for it to be top of my mind. I don't know, Kim.
So once we were done with the historical aspect of that area, we went to a place called the Reading Terminal Market. It's like a public market. Think Seattle's Pike Place Market or San Diego's Liberty Station. Has, you know, like an indoor farmer's market, lots of different foods, specialties, housewares, things like that.
So Ryan and Bree came with us here. They recommended this place. We wanted to get some Philly cheesesteaks. How can you go to Philly and not get Philly cheesesteaks? So we went here, did that. They showed us around a little bit. And I just want to say real quick, Ryan and Bree, you guys were already talking about coming in June to our trip to West Virginia for our whitewater rafting. We've mentioned it on the podcast several times for you squatties. Go to our website, check it out. We're doing a meetup at New River Gorge National Park. I'm hoping to hear from you, Ryan and Bree, that you guys are coming, and you other squatties should just as well.
Ryan and Bree were so great at this Reading Terminal because we want to get the Philly cheesesteak. And I didn't even know that there's a huge lingo about Philly cheesesteaks and how to order them. Like, people can get different types of cheese on it. Like, you can get cheese whiz on it. If you order it with cheese, you don't say, I'd like a Philly cheesesteak with cheese whiz. You just say whiz wit or whiz without.
I mean, there was a whole lingo. Like, you could almost look like an idiot in another country not speaking the language trying to order something if you're ordering a cheesesteak here. They didn't know if you're from Philly or not based off of how you order it. And I was, like, so blown away. And then it's, like, different lingo if you want, like, the peppers on it. And so do your research or go with a local. But you got to try a Philly cheesesteak when in Philly.
Did they do provolone and cheese whiz?
I don't know if it was an option to do both, but there was definitely an option to get provolone.
Okay.
Or Swiss. Yeah, I don't know. It might be sacrilege, Kim, to get double cheese on there. Two different types.
No,
I don't know.
Double cheese? That's double the fun.
I know, you would think, but I don't know. They take it seriously over there. We're going to have to ask Ryan and Bree if that's taboo or if we can do that.
So after we ate our Philly cheesesteaks, we headed to the Christ Church burial grounds. We went here because we wanted to see the final resting place of Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, so a lot of founding fathers and historical significant Americans are buried in this church and their burial grounds. However, they do charge you $5 to go inside, but we're going to hit you up with a squad tip right here. Don't pay the $5 to go inside because most people are wanting to really see Benjamin Franklin's grave. You can see it right from the sidewalk. He's up against the fence. So just find the one spot if that's all you want to see and save yourself the $5. But if you're really more into American history, want to appreciate a historic burial grounds from a significant church, plus the historical aspect of founding fathers, other significant Americans, you can pay the $5 and go in.
Then we walked over to Elfrith's Alley. This is one of the oldest continuously inhabited residential streets in the United States. It's really cool. The structures were built back in 1720 to 1836, and some of them are still for sale today, of course, but it's just really cool to walk down this alley in this neighborhood and check it out. There's even a museum there as well.
I think the street was a little bit cobblestone too, was it not, Brittany?
It was.
What's that famous street in Boston that they say is like one of the oldest streets in the world too?
Acorn.
Acorn Street. So this is, if you're familiar with Acorn Street in Boston, this is Philadelphia's equivalent right here at Elfrith's Alley.
So that's what we did in Philadelphia. As we were leaving, Ryan and Bree, we walked them to their car and they gave us this little gift of Tasty Cakes. Jamal and I had never heard of them before, but apparently they're like super big in this area. And they gave us the butterscotch crimpets and peanut butter candy cakes, and they were delicious.
If you don't know what a tasty cake is, think almost like a Hostess cake. It's almost like a Twinkie. It's almost like a Zinger cake from Hostess. So very similar, but they only sell them in the East Coast because I think it is specifically a Philadelphia, New Jersey thing.
Hey, Kim, have you ever heard of water ice?
No.
Maybe you've heard of water ice because they don't say water. It's water.
Water?
Water.
Water. Have not heard of either. What is that?
So it's like a icy dessert. It's more coarse than like a sorbet, but it's basically like water, fruit, and sugar like all blended up together. And it's supposed to be really refreshing on a hot summer day. It's like very popular in that it can also be called like Italian ice. Have you heard of Italian ice? Yes.
Almost like shave ice from Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
But different. But yeah, we decided that we had to have some water ice. And so we went to John's Water Ice. And I think we tried a pineapple and mango combination.
Good.
I liked it. What'd you think, Jamal?
I liked it a lot. You know, someone can say these things are just glorified snow cones to some degree, but it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. This place, John's Water Ice, probably one of the most popular places to get it in Philadelphia. They are cash or Venmo only, so don't go there expecting credit card. There's not really anywhere to sit. You order at a counter, they give it to you. You're going to want to eat it right away, especially on a hot day, because otherwise it's going to melt, but really refreshing after being out in the sun.
And then from here, we drove to Lavalette, New Jersey. That's where Bob and Lorraine have their beach bungalow. And Lavalette is one of the nicest beach communities on the Barnegat Peninsula.
And this is technically the Jersey Shore, yes?
Yes.
Oh.
This whole region, I feel like everywhere there is segmented into little districts, and each neighborhood could maybe be like a mile long, few blocks wide, but this area is the Jersey Shore. Seaside Heights is really what gets the name Jersey Shore, particularly because that's where they have the more popular beach, the boardwalk, the seaside amusements, etc. But this, nevertheless, is the Jersey Shore.
So what was it like in the neighborhoods? What does it look like? Is the beach really close to the house?
So where Bob and Lorraine live, they live actually, I feel like, in the perfect location. They live in the center of like the town, but they live 3 blocks from the beach and 3 blocks from the bay.
Ooh.
So in one direction, you can hit the bay, other direction, you can hit the beach. Unfortunately, because of the hurricanes in the past and the destruction that the hurricanes have caused, like Hurricane Sandy caused to the area, they have had to put up sand dunes. Mm-hmm. So all of the houses that were on the beach side now look out to these sand dunes. Mm-hmm. And so some of them lost their ocean view.
But you just got to climb the sand dune and there's the beach. So Bob and Lorraine were telling us it was a big uproar. People, I mean, you can imagine if you bought beachfront property and then the government came in and said, hey, we're just going to block your view with sand, you'd be pissed. But it's really for the protection in case another hurricane comes. I mean, this area was decimated by Hurricane Sandy. Seaside Heights in that area where they have the rides. I mean, there's famous images of the pier breaking, the roller coaster going out to sea. So it was really devastating. But this area has been built back up. It's alive and thriving. And what I really appreciated about this area is the homes are really nice and quaint, right? They're not designed in this area specifically to be big or huge. They're just like little beach bungalows. But there is such a sense of community that I felt in our couple days there that I haven't really ever felt in any other neighborhood that I've been in. Everybody knows each other. You're out walking. Everybody says hi. Mm-hmm. And it's not just saying hi to strangers. You're talking to them. Hey, when are you going to stop by? People will come out in the evenings when it gets cooler, have drinks out on their patio. And it's basically like an open bar of people coming and migrating. And Aww. It's just like the sense of community that I really loved out there.
Yeah, definitely. Like we got there in the evening and Lorraine had a little charcuterie board of sorts, right? And we were eating out on the patio and on the other side of the fence. And the fences are just, you know, like half body fences, white picket fences. Their neighbors were on the other side. And so we're chatting with the neighbors and they're like, oh, you guys want a beer? They're handing beers over the fence, you know? And then the other neighbor from the other side was over at the neighbor's house. So everyone's just kind of like right there talking. They came over, had a, you know, a drink. They brought us dessert. So like everyone kind of just like communally hangs out at night and has these little events. I know Lorraine for 4th of July, they usually do like a block party and every house will have like, they'll have a theme. So one year they did a movies theme. So Lorraine had little Jaws themed drinks and like bites. And so everyone on that street that wants to participate picks a movie and they'll do a bite and a drink themed to that movie. And then you just kind of house hop. Aww. And I think like 20 different houses participated. So by the end of it, you can get pretty sloshed if you're tasting a drink at every single, you know, house. but really cool. They live in this community where almost every house there in their section is a beach bungalow. So two beds, like one bath, about like 520 square feet. So tiny little beach getaways. Some people, though, have retired and made this like their primary residence. And there's a lot of controversy in this area about like how you're able to build up the place, because before they were all beach bungalows on the ground. Well, then when the hurricanes took things out, they are allowed to put them up on stilts, but they were only able to like build them up a certain amount, right? So then they got this kind of under the house storage. But now you can actually build patios underneath your house with like fans underneath and
expand out
and expand up. So they have all of these regulations and different things.
It really inspired me to buy a house out there. I really enjoyed my time with that sense of community that I felt. But other than that, of course, we got a unique experience because we know locals out in the area. People visiting may not get that sense of community feel, unfortunately, but nevertheless, Jersey Shore, you're going to enjoy it. Let's start talking about some of the highlights.
So after we had our small bites with Bob and Lorraine, they walked us down to the beach. We got to see the sand dunes. We got to see where people lost their ocean view. But really cool to see the beach at the Jersey Shore. I mean, it's iconic, right? And then they have these boardwalks where you can walk by the beach homes. The beach homes aren't bungalows. They are much larger, really beautiful. Some of them have huge decks that look out to the ocean on the second story. So this is a perfect spot to rent a beach house.
And that kind of really wrapped it up for the night. It was really Philadelphia, travel day, hang out with Bob and Lorraine. Then the next morning when we woke up, it was Sunday. The first thing we did, they took us for a 4-mile walk around the island in the morning. You're going to want to do it before it starts to get really hot. In the morning is when you see most people really active, going on their walks before they go to the beach or go about their day doing something inside, running errands, because it will get hot. Where did they take us around the island, Brittany?
Mostly around the community. Their community has 1,000 beach cottages. Like I said, they live in the middle of the island. We walked to the beachfront, then we walked through town, then we walked on the bay side, and then we walked back to their cottage. On the bay side, there is spots to put like boats or jet skis. So they showed us where they house their jet skis that they have in the summer. Water sports is great activity out there to enjoy as well.
Yeah, and you can see lots of people either playing pickleball. They have basketball courts along the bay side. On the beach side, of course, you'll have those big homes that Brittany was talking about, or bigger homes. And then the beachfront promenade to walk on and enjoy the views of the ocean, cross over the sand dunes, lay out. So it was just a little morning tour that we did.
One thing to note, too, is everyone gives a right of way to bikes and pedestrians. So like people just like randomly start crossing and you just have to slow down if you're in a car. But it was very hot and humid during the walk. We were parched by the time we got back to the cottage. So Jamal was like, hey guys, who wants a liquid IV? Which is definitely one of our favorite travel products because it keeps us hydrated while we're flying, traveling, and walking around the Jersey Shore.
It's full of electrolytes and hydrates you 2 times faster than water alone. We use them when flying, feeling jet lagged after a long hike, or long hot walks along the Jersey Shore. They're super easy to carry and keep stocked in your suitcase, carry-on, or day pack.
Liquid IV comes in regular and sugar-free flavors. Some of our favorites are the tangerine with immune support, which will be great for the hangover recovery from the Jersey Shore. We got sugar-free peach, sugar-free lemon lime are two of our favorites. They also make great mixers for the cocktails on the Jersey Shore. And you squatties can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use our promo code TravelSquadPodcast.
You know, I never thought about using a Liquid IV as a mixer, but that is like next level.
I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, stay hydrated while you drink, guys. But we were literally so hot after that 4-mile walk. We were all sweaty, so we took a shower before we went out to Seaside Heights.
Because there was an option to walk to Seaside Heights, right? It's going to be a little bit more of a walk from where their home is, but definitely doable. If it was a little cooler, we probably would have done it. But we're like, no, let's refresh ourselves, shower, made our way to Seaside Heights. This is the iconic Jersey Shore that everybody knows and thinks about, where they have the amusements and the rides and, of course, the famous Jersey Shore House.
We actually literally parked in front of the Jersey Shore House. The garage is still painted the same way. They actually offer tours before they actually rented out the house, but the manager said that the house would just get completely trashed every time they rented it out because everyone just like wants to party. Mm-hmm. So they stopped renting it out. And now they do Jersey Shore house tours.
What we did in this area was really walk along the boardwalk, got to see the different rides, different food options that were available, see everybody out on the beach. The beach was bumping. Let me tell you, what I did not see was Snooki trashed roaming the beach. At that point in time, I would have loved to see it, but you know, they are not filming at this point in time and they are past those antics now, but never.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, and not at that level. I don't know about past those antics, right? But I don't know about at that level where she's going to get arrested these days. But along the way on the boardwalk, we did come across the Shore Store where they actually worked. And I said, oh, I want to go in here. You know, Brittany and I always get an ornament from our travels. I said, what better place to get a Jersey Shore mm-hmm. ornament than the Shore Store? We picked it up. But when Brittany said earlier, oh, the manager was saying this and that about it getting trashed when they rented it, so they don't do it anymore. The manager from the show, he really is the owner of that place, and he's working there. He was there. Oh, I was talking to him for a little bit. So he's the one who says, yeah, no, we can't even rent that out anymore because people would just mess it up because they want to relive the Jersey Shores yeah. if they're on it. So only tours available of the house. I want to see if they still have the duck phone, though.
We walked into the storage room. I was like, oh, my God, there's the manager. There's the manager. Take a picture. Take a picture.
Did you get a picture with him?
Not with him. We got one of him. I didn't want to be like, oh, let me get a picture. I mean, he's just the manager in that sense. But if you like the show, it was really cool to see that aspect of it because, you know, you really think like, okay, is he just really working there because he's the manager? And of course, he's the one in charge of the show because the condition was them to work there, to stay in the house. But no, he really is still working there. It's his store. It's his main bread and butter. And that's what he does.
So we checked that out, got our ornament. Then we went to Spicy's. It's a Mexican spot, but we went there specifically for margaritas to cool down, ooh, get some nachos. We were on the second story and you can overlook the beach and the boardwalk from there. So really good people watching. Scenic, of course. Bob and Lorraine said that they've seen Kim Kardashian before there.
Wow. Is it a fancy spot?
It's not a fancy spot. I don't think any of the spots along the boardwalk in this area are going to be really fancy, but they were in there eating or drinking and Kim Kardashian came in. They were filming a scene from the TV show or wanted to film a scene and they told them that they needed to leave, but they're like, well, I'm going to finish my stuff before we leave, and they let them. But she went in there, and I don't know which episode it is in or what season, but you can find Kim Kardashian at Spicy's.
So did you all actually go onto the beach at all, lay out, go in the ocean? Is the ocean cold?
We did not.
What?
I know. We did what? Not. Because we just like had such a jam-packed weekend with them that like we really didn't get on the beach. It was really hot.
You didn't even walk on it? We put your feet in?
We did at some point, no doubt. But I mean, when you asked that question, I envisioned, do you mean did we just lay out on the beach? No, we did mm-hmm. not. But let me tell you something. If we can find photos of what the beach looked like when we were on the deck of Spicy's enjoying our margarita in the shade and staying cool, you would have been hard-pressed to find a spot on the beach. Oh. It was bumping. It was crowded out there. Crowded.
Yeah, you know, they even have regulations on how big your umbrella could be.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about regulations on drinks on the beach?
Yes, no drinks on the beach, no alcohol, no canopies, no coolers. You can bring coolers, but they have to be under a certain size and they can't have alcohol in them. So they very heavily regulate this. And to get on the beach in Seaside Heights is about $10 a day.
I'm curious how the water feels because it's so hot and humid, like you say. And I know the Atlantic, you know, upper East Coast is cold water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how cold it was and if it would have felt good.
It did feel good. Again, we didn't go here. When we get further on in this episode and we talk about when we're in Cape May, New Jersey, we did touch the water. We've been in this vicinity before in Delaware. Delaware is just a little bit south on another venture, touching the beach there. So the water is cold, but on that hot summer day, it's not like it's Pacific Ocean cold in Northern California, San Francisco, where we're from. It was actually quite tolerable. Would Jamal still have difficulty getting in? Maybe, but you know, it wasn't freezing.
So after we went to Spicy's and walked the boardwalk, we headed back to the house and we got ready for an evening out in the Jersey Shore. We went to a brewery called Lost Wave Brewery down in Point Pleasant, which is another beachside town on the Jersey Shore. What was really funny was when we were driving, I got a message from one of our squatties because I had been posting stories about where we were and what we were doing. And she said we were officially DTS. And I was like, DTS, I don't know what that means. So I'm like, Bob, Lorraine, can you tell me what DTS means? And they're like, oh, it means you're down the shore. Because no one says going to the Jersey Shore. You say, I'm going to the shore, or DTS, I'm going down the shore.
East Coasters have their own lingo. I mean, I guess we do as West Coasters. I don't know. And of course we do, but don't really pay attention to the fact that it is because it's so common. Mm-hmm. But over there, just like the lingo with the cheese whiz for the Philly cheesesteaks, DTS for the shore. But Lost Wave Brewery was really good. And this area of Point Pleasant, this is a little bit, I don't want to say it's a more like classy area, but it's more north of Seaside Heights. And this is where you start to get more out of the amusement aspect of things and a little bit more classy, upper scale, and lots of nice restaurants in this area.
And homes.
And homes, yes.
Yeah, part of the joy is just driving down and be like, ooh, I could live in that beach house. Look at that one over there. That looks great. And they never say the beach. We're not going to the beach. We're going to the shore. So we had a drink at the brewery, and then we went to a restaurant called Spano's. It's an Italian food restaurant, and this is a place that we packed a cooler for. So we, after we had our brewery drinks, we still packed a cooler of like wine and beer and whatnot, because they don't have a liquor license here, and so they allow you to bring in your own drinks. You do need reservations, though. They made reservations quite far in advance, knowing that we were coming out for the visit.
Yeah, so Spano's is a really popular Italian restaurant. We got the seafood ravioli and the veal chop parmigiana. Oh my God. If you want to have like an East Coast vibe Italian restaurant, this is the place to go. Really good. Of course, they have the traditional pastas, but what I liked about this is, you know, you go to a lot of Italian restaurants and you'll see like different pastas, pasta, pasta, pasta. They had a whole variety of non-pasta Italian dishes, which I absolutely loved.
Bob and Lorraine know the owner, of course, so he comes out, he still serves. He brought us all of these different appetizers that we had. We had some zucchini and some other things. We were full before we even got our meal.
One thing to note is that in this area, there are a couple very famous pizza spots. There's going to be Rosie's Pizza as well as Danino's Pizza. Now, Rosie's Pizza is famous in this area. Lots of people know it. If you are a social media buff and fan and know Barstool Sports, more particularly Mr. Dave Portnoy himself and Pizza Review, he did a pizza review of Rosie's. You know how strict he is on giving his ratings. He gave Rosie's an 8.5. Absolutely loved it. But Rosie's is so popular. We saw what a Rosie's pie looks like when we were in Lost Wave Brewing, because somebody brought in a pizza into there. The thing about Rosie's, though, is you can't just go in and order a pizza. You have to call in advance. They are takeout and phone order only. And when you happen to be able to get through for them to take your order, if they even take it, they tell you when to pick up the pie. So you can call at 10 a.m., but they may tell you your pie is not going to be ready till 8 p.m., even if you want it at 5 p.m. It doesn't matter. That's how popular this place is. And I really regret that we didn't get to try it. Next time we go back to this area, I want to make a specific point to try it. I mean, if a pizza is that hyped, I could either be really let down or could be like, oh my God, this is some of the best pizza I've ever had.
Can you call in and order for a future day?
I think it's day of only. They don't do future orders or anything like that. So you got to get lucky. He's like, yeah, I got really lucky, because he's got one of the last time slots, that guy who brought it into the brewery.
So that summed up our Sunday in Jersey Shore in Lavalette. We continued down the shore to Cape May. And Cape May is a seaside resort town on the southern tip of New Jersey.
Would it still be considered the Jersey Shore?
I don't think Cape May is part of the Jersey Shore. I think it's so far down that it's not even down the shore. It's off the shore. Right? Isn't that what they said? Like, Cape May is not part of the Jersey Shore.
They said Cape May is its own thing. But I loved Cape May. Cape May was so beautiful. It has these grand, big Victorian houses. A lot of the Victorian houses have been turned into B&Bs, really cute shops and quaint restaurants. They have this little area called the Washington Street Mall. They have a lighthouse in this area. It is a beautiful seaside resort town.
I think Cape May is billed as one of the first, if not the first, seaside recreation area in the United States, where lots of bigwig East Coasters who had money, this is where they vacationed and summered. That's why you see all these Victorian style homes. People with money had to be the ones to build them, and this was their summer location. So it still has that small, quaint town vibe, even though it is a very popular tourist place for people to go to now. What brought us specifically to Cape May, Brittany?
So the reason why Cape May was even on my radar was because I have an old coworker. We used to work together in San Diego. She is a nurse and she decided to leave nursing, and her sister owns one of the inns in Cape May, and she decided to become an innkeeper and run the Mason Cottage. So she was like, hey, come out sometime and come visit us in Cape May. And so we stayed at the Mason Inn with her. The entire town of Cape May is haunted. So if you love the paranormal and spooky activity, this is a great town to visit.
It definitely was haunted. Our room was haunted. I think we'll touch upon that a little bit later. But when we first arrived into town, one of the things we wanted to do was get some coffee. So we went to Out There Coffee. We got a vanilla lavender iced coffee, or Brittany got the vanilla lavender iced coffee. This was in that mall area, correct, Brittany?
Yeah, the Washington Street Mall.
What did you think of the vanilla lavender iced coffee? Worth the stop?
I think the coffee was really good. Lavender was a little strong for my preference, but the vanilla aspect was delicious.
So, Kim, I know you wouldn't be all about this because you are not a seafood person, but if you're going to go anywhere near the ocean, especially East Coast, they're really big into their lobster rolls out there. So we said we have to try a lobster roll. It's going to be fresh out the ocean right here. We went to La La Lobster, and Brittany and I ended up splitting one of those. It was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Probably one of the more popular spots to get a lobster roll in the area of Cape May.
And La La Lobster is right next to the beach. So, of course, we watched the little beach promenade and boardwalk area, and they were patrolling the beach here too. And the guy was like, oh, you guys have a beach pass? And we're like, oh, no, we were just hoping to touch the Atlantic. And so he let us on the beach. We got to put our feet in the water, kind of just walk through the sand and all of that, and just, you know, get a little beachside experience.
By the time we had that little early lunch, it was time to check into the Mason Cottage.
So the Mason Cottage is a 10-bed Victorian home. It's so beautiful. I loved it. Every room, it's uniquely decorated, has that Victorian feel. Our room had a fireplace, a little living room area. We had a huge bathroom with a jetted tub in it that we definitely used as well. And then the bedroom separate from all of that. It's on like the top floor. And so you can actually see the beach from one of our windows.
I have a question for you, Kim. Of course, we're all from Woodland, California, and I know you know First Street has all the Victorian homes. Have you ever been into any one of the Victorian homes in Woodland? Do you have any friends who know them? Just to give you a picture of what this is, so our hometown of Woodland, Usquatties, at one point in time, because of all the farmland, had the highest per capita millionaires in the United States. That was a long, glory time ago, believe it or not. You didn't even know that, Kim?
No.
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. And so there's one stretch where First Street has all these Victorian homes. Imagine First Street in Woodland, but like blocks and blocks and blocks. Like if you went over to Second or Third, that's exactly what like Cape May central area looks like away from the beach. Just one block in, you start to get all those Victorian style homes. Different colors, sizes, streets lined with trees. These streets are so old, they weren't even designed for cars. So unfortunately, a lot of the bed and breakfasts in this area do not have designated parking spots. You're just going to have to fight for parking on the street. But what they do have, because these roads were built in the time of horses and carriages, they still have the classic horse tie posts like along the street, so you can see those, and it's a little ode to the past.
So we stayed here at the Mason Cottage, obviously because my friend works there, but they offer a two-course breakfast. Every room has a different name, decor, like I said, and then they have a water and tea station on the inside. They even had bikes that you could borrow, so we did a little bike riding with a beach cruiser.
Complimentary bikes at that, not even for rent, complimentary bike.
Beach towels, and they have umbrellas because it's known for a nice summer storm, too.
So after we checked in and got settled, we did something that would be right up your alley, Kim. We went wine tasting. Cape May has a winery.
Yes, we did the tasting, and then we got a glass of wine and then a snack as well. Because we went in summer, you know, the vineyards were like nice, full. You could see the grapes hanging down off the vines. Pretty. It was really pretty.
And what kind of wine? Like dry, sweet?
I think we got something a little sweet.
Yeah, we ended up just getting some white wine. I mean, we did the tasting, then we got a glass of wine, but the tasting was inside. Where we sat afterwards when we had the wine was outside. Being that it was so hot, you want a white wine to really cool you down, something crisp, something refreshing. They weren't really too sweet. Of course, I am not a sommelier or big wine connoisseur to go in depth, but I wouldn't say they were overly sweet. They were just good, sippable wines on a hot summer day. And even if wine isn't your thing, it's a nice vibe out here to just go as a place to sit and relax.
Then we headed on over to a place called Higbee Beach. So we did go to the beach again, I guess, Kim. And from here, you can see there's a ferry that you could take from Delaware into Cape May, New Jersey.
That's one of the things I appreciate about the East Coast is the states are a lot smaller. So you could get from one place to the next. I mean, we were just in Philadelphia, which is in Pennsylvania. You drive not too far, you're on the ocean in New Jersey. Then I go a little bit south and, oh, I'm looking across the river. Granted, so wide, far across, but I'm looking over into Delaware, right? So the state highway that they have in that area is a ferry. So if you want to get there, instead of driving the long way, they have a ferry to put your car on to get into Delaware. But this area of Higbee Beach is a nice little tucked away area where you can relax and probably enjoy a little bit more serenity than the more used beachfront areas in Cape May.
And for dinner in Cape May, we went to a place called the Lobster House. This is a very old restaurant where they're still wearing like old traditional outfits.
Like what?
Like skirts and
like pilgrim.
Yeah, bags. Almost like that. Yeah. But this place is so big. It was kind of confusing because they have like a main dining room. They have a place to get to go orders. They have a raw fish deli and they have a raw bar. So we wanted specific things, but you can only get some things on some menus. So we were confused about where to go and where to order. It took us a little while to get acclimated here.
Yeah, there was a big line. We started to stand in that as soon as they opened. Apparently that was the line for the main dining room. We didn't want to eat at the main dining room because the main dining room didn't have the eats that we wanted. And then we were told, no, if you want this, go there. But somebody directed us to the raw bar, which is where you pick up food to go and not really do the quick over-the-counter dining. So if you're going to go to the Lobster House, it's really, really popular. Just be mindful that it's really confusing. Kind of figure it out before you go of what you want so you know what line to get into and not as confused as Brittany and I. We enjoyed it. Did we absolutely love it? I don't know. But when we're in a place that's known for its seafood, we always like to try to get seafood. So we did here. I would eat here again, but I'm not like, ooh, I absolutely love the Lobster House.
Yeah, I would agree. So by this time, we wanted to head back to the Mason Cottage. We wanted to see if Ro and her husband Eric wanted to go out and get a drink. They were able to get away from the cottage for a little while. So we went to a local bar. I'm not going to name the local bar because when I was asking her like, oh, are we going to go to this place? She was like, no. And she like whispered where we were going to go because they want to keep it local, whatnot. But let me just tell you, it is a Victorian, beautiful home with a wraparound porch with rocking chairs on the deck. So you can get your drinks and just lay back, rock in the rocking chair, and get very nice, just like relaxing vibes. There was live music, just good scenery all around.
What we really wanted to do, and they suggested this place, and of course, Brittany's keeping it a little bit secret because it is a local spot. It's kind of tucked and hidden away. What we wanted to do was go to the Brown Room at Congress Hall, and then they came up with this alternative. So I'll let you squatties know about Congress Hall because this is where we originally said that we wanted to go get a drink. The Brown Room is their bar and lounge. And originally Congress Hall was called the Big House, but the founder of Congress Hall, which is just really a giant hotel, the founder, Thomas Hughes, he was eventually elected to Congress and he was a representative for the state of New Jersey. With his political power and influence, of course, he knew the likes of other politicians and presidents. So at Congress Hall, Presidents Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, Ulysses S. Grant, as well as Benjamin Harrison, all vacationed here. And during the Harrison presidency, he officially made it his summer White House. He would spend months here at a time during the summer. So a lot of official U.S. government business and work was conducted here at Congress Hall. But the Brown Room is one of the more popular and famous places to get an evening nightcap and cocktail in Cape May.
So I think this is a good time to talk about other trip ideas that we have upcoming for you. We have two trips in this year that you can join us. One is an independent trip meetup and the other is an inclusive guided tour.
One of those trips that we're going to be doing, I mentioned earlier when I was talking about our squatties, Ryan and Bree, is to New River Gorge National Park. We are going to be doing whitewater rafting, river floating. There is also zip lining, hiking in the area. So it's going to be a really fun weekend getaway. This one is the independent meetup. You can go to our website, Travel Squad Podcast, see where we're staying, use the promo code TSP for 20% off when you do that booking.
The other one is a Napa Valley wine 9-weekend trip on November 1st through 4th of 2024. This one's really cool. This is more of an all-inclusive hosted experience. You'll get yourself to San Francisco and then the rest is taken care of for you. So we'll be your tour guides. We have transportation, wine tasting, wine dinners, breakfast buffets. We also have a little hot springs excursion going in there, and it's going to be a really, really good time. So go to our website, like Jamal said, travelsquadpodcast.com. All the information is there. We also have a promo code for that one. Use the code paid in full. When you book the whole trip, pay in full, you get $200 off. See you there.
So Tuesday was our last day, and I will just say I regretted not spending two nights in Cape May. If I were to go back, I would definitely spend two nights there.
I agree. I really love the quaintness of it, the Victorian home vibes. But when we woke up in the morning, we said before it gets hot, we got to utilize what the Mason Cottage has. Let's take some of these bikes. And we rode the bikes to the beach boardwalk. And then we continued on to the Cape May Lighthouse.
Yeah, it was a very nice early morning bike ride. Then we made it back to the Mason Cottage for their two-course breakfast.
What are the two courses?
Well, it changes. So as a matter of fact, at the Mason Cottage, they will alternate the day. Every other day in the morning, breakfast will be a sweet thing. And then the alternative day will be a savory. And then the following day, sweet again. So they go back and forth, back and forth. We happened to be there on a savory day. They had a breakfast cheese souffle as the first course. Really good.
And the second course?
So the other course, which we actually had first, was a yogurt parfait.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. And then after breakfast at the Mason Cottage, what did you guys do?
So we wanted to check out this other winery. It wasn't open when we went yet, but just the road to get there is really cool. It's an Alice in Wonderland themed road.
Ooh.
So you can actually stop and take pictures of a few different things, but it was just nice to drive. Winery is huge. I would definitely want to go back and check this place out.
This would have been perfect if we had two full days. This is the Willow Creek Winery. And like Brittany said, the highlight really is that kind of main road through to get to the winery. But I would love to have tried their wine on a hot day today, but we had to catch on back to Philadelphia for our flight home.
Then we also headed to Sunset Beach. There's actually a shipwreck and the remains are on the shore. What was really interesting is this ship was built out of concrete.
Oh, that is weird. You wouldn't think that would float.
I wouldn't even suspect a ship of concrete to float, but something nevertheless happened. This was the SSS Atlantis. It launched in 1918 and sank in 1926. So it only had about 8 years of life before the concrete said, I'm done floating. I'm going to sink. It's just like right here on shore. And you can see some of the ship just sticking out of the water.
Yeah, I guess they launched a whole fleet of concrete ships and they didn't do too hot. So, you know, you live and learn.
And that's why we don't see a whole lot of concrete ships anymore, I guess.
I guess not. So you can see the shipwreck from Sunset Beach. So we checked it out. They also had a little gift shop in this area. We got a Cape May ornament from that area as well. On our way out of Cape May, we stopped at a place called Cold Spring Village. It is the largest open air living history museum in New Jersey. It felt similar to what Williamsburg felt like in Virginia. The 1800s come alive here. They have restored preserved buildings, 30-acre site. It was closed, but you can still walk through.
Yeah, it was closed when we went, but some of the things you can see of the historic value, you can see people blacksmithing, printing, woodworking, basket weaving, book binding. So everything that you would expect to see in a small town before the big machines and masses took a part of it, you will see people as a living history museum doing these works. So it would be unique if we were there to see it because we enjoyed it when we went to Williamsburg. Would have loved to see this type of stuff because we did not see this in Williamsburg. I've never really seen somebody do blacksmith work or printing or anything like that.
And we were already on our way out back to Philly. So we made it back to Philly and we wanted to try cheesesteak another time. Philly is very famous for two places that are big competitors. One place is called Gino's, the other is called Pat's. They are catty corner from each other. So we decided to get one from Gino's, one for Pat's.
Whizwit.
Whizwit.
Yes, I'm glad you remember the lingo, Kim. So we got one of each, split it in half. And I would say, do you remember which one we thought was better, Brittany?
No, I don't remember which one we
got. I didn't think anyone distinguished themselves from the other. You know, it's a big local rivalry of which one is better because Pat's, again, is the original. Geno's is the second one, just catty corner, became a friendly competition. And they were good, but nothing to write home about to be like, oh, yeah, like this one is better than the other or vice versa. I didn't really feel that, but I am not a Philly native. A Philly native might, you know, put me to the cross on this and crucify me.
We're going
to
hear it about this.
was not necessarily thinking one was better than the other.
But they were both good.
They were both good. And if you're in Philly, you have to try this. I mean, this is a Philly staple. They are worth trying. Don't get me wrong. But to say that one was better and one is greater, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Chicago with
Luminati's or Giordano's.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they're both good, right? Like, you enjoy them both. So anyways, they're friendly competition. And then we caught our flight back to San Diego that night.
And that brings us to the best time of the episode, questions of the week. Our first question's coming from Jim out of Sacramento. Jim is asking, GTL, gym tan or laundry? You can only choose one.
Well, Jim apparently knows the Jersey Shore. We mentioned GTL a little bit earlier. Gym tan, laundry, only one. Wow, that's tough. That is tough.
I'm going tanning.
Tanning. I would say laundry because you gotta look and smell clean. I would say gym because, of course, you want to be a little bit physical, but you can get physical doing everyday activities.
Doing laundry?
Yes. Everyday activities, walking, doing a couple bins. Laundry, man. You want to walk around with dirty clothes, be unfashionable, Kim?
Well, out here in the Jersey Shore, you might not need clothes. Just, you know, swimsuit. You wash it in the ocean and also on the tanning.
Oh, he's referencing in general, what would we do at the shore?
Well,
that's the
I'm
way
assuming.
You're taking the question. Okay,
but
well then.
I will say, you know, there is that saying, if you can't tone it, tan it. So who needs a gym when you have tanning?
I've never heard that saying. What a saying. You can't tone it, tan it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. I think I would still pick laundry. But I know, Kim, your heart is at the beach. Tanning is your vibe.
Good question, Jim. Second question coming in here is from Nicole, actually from New Jersey. She's asking, as new visitors to New Jersey, are there any other places that are on your list to visit?
Nicole, that's actually a fantastic question. I don't know enough about New Jersey to have another place that I want to go. If I went back, I would really love to go spend more time in Cape May like we discussed. I really enjoyed my time in the Jersey Shore. What I would do to add on someplace new, I love roller coasters. They have Six Flags Great Adventure out there. I'm going to add that to my list for my stop in New Jersey.
I would actually add the Delaware Water Gap. It's so beautiful online when I look at the pictures, and it was actually a possible contender to be the next national park.
I also think right across from the Hudson in New York, that strip of Jersey, like Hoboken and right around there, that'd be a cool place to visit. Great views of New York City.
City vibes without being in the city itself.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good selection, Kim.
Thank you very much, Jamal.
Yeah.
And thank you, Squatties, for tuning into our episode this week. We had so much fun with you going to the Jersey Shore, Cape May, Philly. Make sure to keep the adventures going with us on all the socials at Travel Squad Podcast and send us in questions of the week.
If you found the information in this episode to be useful, or if you thought we were just plain funny, please be sure to share it with a friend that would enjoy it too. And as always, please subscribe, rate and review our podcast, and tune in every Travel Tuesday for new episodes.
Stay tuned for next week's episode. We have some more amazing adventures and tips in store for you.
Bye, Squatties.